This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. On this feast of the baptism of the Lord, we commemorate Jesus' baptism and the institution of the sacrament of baptism. Now, you all know what a sacrament is. It's an outward sign instituted by Christ to give grace. He uses the material world in order to be a sign of the grace he's bestowing inwardly. And so by means of this baptism, this washing in the water, what we find is that all sin is washed away. We're made adopted sons and daughters of God with the right to heaven. It's an enormous grace. It just not only symbolizes, but causes what it symbolizes. We become children of God. So baptism is an enormous grace. Now, why would this happen? Well, at the offertory of the Mass, the priest puts a drop of water into the wine, and he says, "May we come to share the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share in our humanity." You and I become sons and daughters of God. We actually share the divine life. Just as Jesus shared our human life, we now get to share his divine life. It's a supernatural adoption that makes us sons and daughters of God. And our destiny is holiness. Our calling is to be made holy, not just nice people, but holy, radically holy, changed. And this happens because of baptism and all the other sacraments that follow after it. St. Augustine says, "God became man so that man might become God." We don't become creators of our own universes, but we are so divinized that we are actually sharing the divine life. And this does not belong to other nice people. This doesn't belong to the pagans of the world, the unbaptized of the world, whether they be Buddhist or Muslim. They don't share the dignity of the sons and daughters of God. They don't share the divine life and the promise of eternal life. That's the grace of baptism. So watch out for the religious indifferentism that says, as long as I'm a nice person, all paths are the same, and it's simply not true. In addition to that, we find that Jesus will say, the kingdom of heaven is within. Deep within our breast, because of this state of grace, we share the divine life, and the kingdom of heaven is within us. This is another grace which is ours. Now, why were the Jews baptizing anyway? Where did that idea of baptizing come from? Well, the Jews were always concerned with the sacred and being made clean. And so while purity and holiness were in the forefront of their thinking, they were mindful of their sins. They understood that they needed to repent of their sins and be cleansed, purified of their sins. And you'll find throughout the scriptures, again and again, the Jews knew they had to be purified. So Moses is going to invite them up to the mountain where he goes up to receive the commandments, and he says, "Purify yourselves for 3 days." He says, "Touch no woman for 3 days." In other words, this purification was to set aside all your sense pleasures before the time of this great religious event. They knew they had to be purified. They knew that self-denial was part of the purification process. So they did these things. They were willing to sacrifice. They sanctified themselves. The priests were also holy to the Lord. They had to remove their vestments coming out of the temple. They had to cleanse themselves before they put on the sacred vestments. We find that after the Babylonian captivity, they added more and more rituals of purification, knowing how much they had sinned. And they end up with washing of cups and jugs and kettles and all of those things that we hear in Mark's gospel. But the whole point was to be pure. Now, Jesus says it's different than that. He says they're mistaken. He says what's really important is what comes out of a man, not what goes into him, not what you eat. But instead, he says what comes out of a man renders him impure. From the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, and slander. These defile a man. But what we eat with unwashed hands does not render a man defiled or impure. So Jesus is teaching us the real point of this is to be ritually purified at heart. Now, why was Jesus baptized? Again, he gains nothing from it, and yet he institutes this sacrament for us. He was baptized to make holy the waters of baptism for us, so that down through the ages, whenever anyone baptizes, it's Christ who baptizes, and it's Christ who shares the divine life with us. Now, he says this is very important from John chapter 3. He says, "Truly I say to you, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." That's what baptism does for us. That's what opens the doors of heaven for us. So the idea of whether your grandkids are baptized or not is a big deal. It's very significant. From Mark chapter 16, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all of creation. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned." From Acts chapter 2, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. From Titus, he saved us, not because of any deeds we had done, but out of his own righteousness, by baptism and regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit. These are the gifts that come to us by means of the great gift of baptism. But it's also he sends us on mission. It's not enough that we be receivers of this grace. We are sent to bear fruit. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. We're supposed to bear much fruit. We're sent on mission. Do you realize that our goal is to make disciples, every one of us, not just priests, but you too have to make disciples. And that's going to be the mark of how fruitful your whole work is. We're also joined to the passion of Jesus by the very fact that you and I are baptized. We're sharing in his death that we might also share in his resurrection. Recall the great disciples, James and John. They wanted greatness in the kingdom of heaven. They said, let us sit one at your right and one at your left in your glory. And Jesus says, can you drink from the cup? Can you be baptized with the baptism with which I am to be baptized? Well, they had to share in the sufferings of Jesus to share in the glory. That'll be true of us too. So watch out for the kind of a namby-pamby Christianity that doesn't make any demands of us. It's simply not the way things really are. Now let me conclude with a few practical points. First of all, it's important that we get our kids and our grandkids baptized. It's not insignificant. It's not like, oh well, and don't put it off till all the family can get to town or let's wait till next summer. Don't do that. Baptize the kids right away, like within the first 2 weeks, right away. And you take whoever's present, and they get to be the witnesses. Don't wait for the family or the occasion or whatever else that might be. You baptize them right away. Make sure that your kids and grandkids get baptized. It's not insignificant. Right now, I find that this is a strange anomaly. I find there's a lot of parents more concerned about getting to every soccer game than they are to get their kids baptized. That's a mistake. That's a disorder within our own lives. The most important thing we can do is open the gates of heaven to our own children. Everything else comes after that. In addition, I want to point out to you that one of the truest signs that we're going to have kids who are going to be staying in the faith, and therefore that our name and our faith will hand on to the next generation, is whether or not you and I ourselves are evangelists. We not only have to live the faith, we have to share the faith with others. Dads, in a special way, this is to you. You have to be ones who share the faith. Do you know that right now there's another religion in our midst that's strong, aggressive, demanding, takes no prisoners? Do you realize that their sons and daughters are going to try and marry your sons and daughters? And unless you have roots that go deeper than soccer practice and hockey, you're not going to save the faith. You're not going to hand on the faith to your kids. I'm watching it happen right now. There's some families that are struggling with this because there's an aggressiveness in another religion. And it's not enough for us to be nice. Not enough for us to be, if we were just kinder, maybe everything would go our way. It's not enough that there be a melding, because there's never a melding between these religions. When these aggressive and strong religions stand in our midst, they will make disciples. They will pull our sons and daughters out of the faith, unless you and I are strong and evangelists. And when we begin to evangelize, when it matters to us how other people live their lives, when we call other people out of the darkness into the light, now we become an evangelist. Now our kids witness in us that the faith matters. And that's the key for keeping them in the faith as well. So baptism is a big deal. Don't set this aside. We want everyone to share baptism. The whole world is invited to share baptism. And it's up to you and I to get out and make disciples.